I'd like to introduce Don Price to you. Some of you know Don, but when I asked Seth, who would you like to preach at your installation service, he said, Don Price. So they've known each other for a couple decades. Don and I have known each other for a couple of decades, and Don served as the director of church health in our district for, was it 15 years or more?
16
yep. years. Yep. And not to play favorites, but honestly, out of all the district staff I've ever known, and I mean this sincerely, you know I mean this, Don, I've always touched me as the most pastoral. And, you know, he's like a pastor to pastors was his role, and was a great encouragement to me over the years at key times, honestly. So thank you for that. He's going to talk about his relationship with Seth for sure, but to say one last thing. Just a few months before Don retired, he came to our very first call committee meeting, met with us and got us situated and oriented and said, here's what I recommend, you know, here's how to walk this path forward. Then, of course, he was gone and left us to struggle for 4 years after he left. But it was, it's amazing, sovereignly, how you got us started, and now you're here 4 years later at this end. So it's wonderful. So thank you, Don.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Hey, it's great to be here this morning. My wife, Julie, is with me this service. We've been married almost 50 years, and she's been a great partner in ministry over the years. I grew up just down by Rinson Center, went to high school in Spring Green, grew up in a dairy farm. Julie grew up in a dairy farm up in northern Minnesota. Her family's from the Lake City area, so we're headed out there right after the service for a family reunion. But I'm thankful for a godly wife, and I know that Rich is as well, and I know that Seth is. Seth here was one of the original members of the Bachelors Till the Rapture group back in Stevens Point when they were in college. And he won the prize. He was the last to fall, as he would say. But when he met Heather, it was all over. There's Seth in the back seat. They were on their way as college students. They had a great time together. But they were always on mission, doing something, doing blitzes and sharing Christ on campuses or going to do service projects. In this case, they were headed down to Tennessee where my son has worked over the years at a Christian children's home. This is our daughter, Sarah, on the left there. So they were just kind of gang that bummed around during their college years, growing in Christ together and challenging each other. I could share all kinds of stories about how God has used this group over the last 20 years. It's just phenomenal, really. Here's Seth in one of his finer moments. He's smiling because I think this is the first of your bachelors to the rapture that fell, wasn't it? He was at the wedding of one of the guys. So there's Seth.
Because we need the 45
behind. Better
than I need to trim it. I need three of them to finish this.
We're building us a habitat.
Yeah?
See, we're building us in habitat.
Thank you.
They're working on a building project down there. This fellow on the left was here last night. He's the campus director for Campus Crusade at Stevens Point. He's been up at Living Waters Bible Camp a number of times. He stopped to say hi last night, realized that he was coming through here. And God has used him greatly over the years as well. This is the video that Seth wasn't sure about right here. He's famous in Stevens Point. The Pizza Hut. That's a little taste of them. I've got to tell you a story about Seth. When he was a student there at Stevens Point, you know, they had a lot of fun together, but sometimes the academics kind of got set aside, and Seth was in this biology class. Seth needed to ace the final in order to pass the course. It was that bad. So he was ready. He no-dosed all night. He was ready for anything. Walked into this big lecture hall, and all the tables were little blue books, you know, with a pencil. You all know the picture. And hanging from the ceiling up front were four cardboard boxes, and out of the end of each box there were four sets of bird legs. And the professor said, now, by looking at these four sets of bird legs, I want you to identify the genus, the species, the migration patterns, and eating habits of these four types of birds. Well, Seth goes, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And he sat there and stewed on it for about 10 minutes, and finally he just had it. Crumpled that little blue book up, took it up, and threw it in the professor's face. He said, this is the dumbest final test I've ever seen in my life. And he turned and walked out. And the professor was just, nothing like that ever happened before. Just as he got to the back door, the professor finally regained his composure. He said, hey, you, what's your name? Seth pulled up his pants. He said, you tell me. And he walked out. So it's probably a good thing we didn't share some of this stuff with you before Seth was hired. In the early service, I shared too, some of the Living Waters folks were here. I wanted to encourage the Living Waters folks because Bible camps are so huge. Julie, my wife, became a Christian through a Bible camp up in Minnesota. Yesterday, we were at Camp Forest Springs. Two of our granddaughters are on staff at Camp Forest Springs this summer. So God uses them in a mighty way. And so there's a goal in all this, Seth. It's Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, or causes good healing. So sometimes we just got to laugh a little. You know, you got to, even at yourself and at each other, because things happen, and sometimes all you can do is just laugh. But that's what the Bible says. A joyful heart is good medicine. So I was sharing with these Living Waters staff, and there was a bunch of them here. You know, they're camp letters. One little girl wrote home from camp, dear Mom and Dad, I love everything about camp except the other campers. You ever felt that way? I love everything about this church except, you know, the people in it, that kind of thing. I love, you know, about my job. And then there's probably the most famous camp letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but dear Mom and Dad, we are having a great time here at Lake Typhoid. Our scoutmaster is making all of us write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and got worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags and Jake's backpack got washed away. Luckily, none of us drowned because we were all up in the mountains looking for Brad when it happened. Oh, yeah. Please tell Brad's mom that he is okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride on one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him if it hadn't been for all the lightning. Our scoutmaster got mad at Brad for being on a hike alone without telling anyone. Well, Brad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire. So he probably didn't hear. Did you know if you pour gas on a fire, the gas will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on like that, and he finishes his way. Guess what? We all learned some first aid when Keith dove off the cliff into the lake and cut his arm. We got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Aaron and I threw up. Our scoutmaster said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover tuna salad we had the first night we were here. He said they got sick that way with the food they ate in prison. This is good. I'm so glad we got out and became our scoutmaster. I have to go now. We're going to town to mail these letters and buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. Love, your son, P.S. How long has it been since I had a tetanus shot? So sometimes we just got a laugh a little. It causes good healing. I have known Rich for years. I feel the same about Rich. I rejoice in what God has done here. I remember when Rich and Karen and Jeff, the Gordons, came up here to help with this group that had a vision to plant a church. You know, boy, you know, we had a lot of other places targeted in the state to plant churches, and Viroqua probably wasn't on the top of our list. But God in his providence has done a great work, and we rejoice with you all. And I know that God has a lot of fruitful ministry left for you all here. as you continue to make disciples and reach people. Now, I can't let Rich off the hook. I did have a dream last night. We stayed with Rich and Karen. Enjoyed their great hospitality. Thank you, Karen. And it was great. I did sleep well, but, you know, sometimes you're in a new bed, you dream a little more. And I had a dream last night. I dreamt I died and went to heaven. And I was talking to St. Peter, and I didn't realize this, but up in heaven, they got these meters that keep track of all of our sins. Did you know that? Every time you sin, it goes around once and keeps track. So I thought, I'm going to check some people, you know. I checked Seth, and I checked, you know, different people that I knew, and I couldn't find Rich Mowers. And I said, St. Peter, I said, hey, Rich Mauer, Pastor Rich, you know, where's his? And St. Peter, I don't, hey, Matthew, hey, where's Rich Mauer's meter, sin meter? And he said, oh, yeah, we use that in the office for a fan. Hey. Okay, if you would stand with me, we're going to look at Ephesians and then pull just some thoughts out of that about God's grace. You guys have got a great name for a church, Grace Evangelical Free Church, because I've learned a lot about grace. One of my life values is blessing precedes devotion. And I want to just to talk a little bit about that whole idea, or grace precedes performance. It's so easy for us as believers and as Christians to get that reversed. We want to put devotion first. We think, boy, if I was just more devoted, if I just worked a little harder, you know, if I just did more of this or more of that, none of that is bad. But when you get the cart before the horse, it just does not work, because the law does not produce the righteousness of God. That only comes through Christ Jesus, through grace. It's a gift. We can't earn it or don't deserve it. So if you would stand with me and turn, please, and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 10, and then we will read chapter 4, verse 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And then over in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, as prisoners for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Father in heaven, I need your help. We need your help today as we meditate and think about and talk a little bit about your word and this grace, that these blessings you bestowed upon us. God, we pray that you would help us to truly understand what it means to be your children, to be loved by you, to be blessed by you. We thank you that you've chosen us before the very foundation of the world to live lives that will glorify you. So we ask that you'd speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice here, this is a typical pattern of Paul's. He will start his epistles with all that God has done for us. And at some point he transitions. He said, then, or therefore, or now, because of. Like in verse 4, he's laid out all of God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles and for the Jews and all that God has done. And then he says, as prisoners, therefore, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. So our life of faith, our life of righteousness flows out of all that God has done in us and through us. not the other way around. We see that as well in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, for instance, it says this. He says, put to death, therefore. He's explained all that God has done. He says, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, etc., etc. In Romans, he's laid out beautifully the whole gospel. He gets to chapter 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice so that we'll be transformed into all that God wants us. So this whole idea of grace proceeds a performance blessing is Seth, something I want you just to think about, to meditate on this morning. And we see it in three different ways. Here in this chapter, he talks, first of all, about God the Father and even his work in creation. He says that even before the creation of the world, he created us. He chose us to be holy and blameless. So even in all of creation, God is demonstrating his grace to us. Even in creation, it's a demonstration of God's grace. We call it common grace. But every day we see the sun rise and the sun set. The rains come and the falls and the seasons follow and the stars stay in their courses. All this happens because of God's love for those that he's created, all of us. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That is a demonstration of this blessing, this common grace. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice, though, goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. So even as we go look at the stars, we sang about that. You go out, you look to the heavens, and you understand in a certain way, you know, that there's a God, a creator, who created us. So we see it in God the creator, who from the very beginning has been a missionary God. Now we know that he created the world, he put man in it, planted man in the Garden of Eden, a great blessing. But what happened? We know that it didn't take long. Well, we don't know how long it might have been. We don't know how long it was. But at some point, our ancestors, our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, ate from that tree. And sin entered the world. And they realized they were no longer innocent. They realized their nakedness, their guilt, their shame, all that entered the world. And ever since then, we have lived in a world that is filled with sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But this God who loves us and has poured out his blessing, even he had this plan from the beginning, it says, he is a missionary God. He reaches out. He's a reaching God, an ascending God. Look at Genesis 3:8. And they heard, this is Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned, they felt shame and guilt. They knew they were naked for the first time. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Apparently, you know, they had a habit of just fellowshipping with God every day, one-on-one, personally. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. We want to hide. So they tried to hide among the trees of the garden. But the God, what did he do? He called to the man and said, where are you? He reaches. And even then, when they answered, he dealt with them and with the serpent, but he also created a covering for them, the first animal to be crucified, the first blood that was shed. Oh, we see it, Lamentations 3:23, for God's loving kindness is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We see it also in our Savior, Jesus Christ, verses 7 and 8. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace. Romans 5:8 was read earlier today. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, he blessed us before. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But even before we were even thinking about him, God has been reaching and blessing and calling us to be his own. While we were yet sinners, he came and died for us. That's who Jesus is. Now, I lived a very self-righteous life. So I was saved out of a life of self-righteousness. I was raised in a very religious home. My parents were both Christians, but they got stuck in this church, that just mainline church, Lutheran, that just, you know, all the Bible was there. It was all there, but it just didn't register. So when I went to Madison through a very sovereign, providential series of events, I understood who Jesus Christ was. If you want to hear the story sometime, I'd be happy to tell you how God showed me my sin. And when I realized I was a sinner, you see, if somebody would ask me back when I was a student at Spring Green, River Valley High School, are you going to heaven? I would have said, well, I hope so. I think so. I would have even said, I'm trusting God to take me to heaven. But what I meant by that was I'm just trusting God to decide if I'm good enough or not. I mean, you know, you just try to do the best you can and you hope and pray and that God will accept you. I just missed the whole, and when I understood who Jesus Christ was, it just changed my life from the inside out. That's what Jesus Christ does. But he does it by blessing us while we were yet sinners. Look at his ministry. In Luke chapter 4, here's what he says. This is his, kind of his life's work laid out. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to bless and to die and to love and to reach and to seek. It's Zacchaeus, Luke 19:10. Luke 19:1 through 10. Luke 19:10 says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost sinners. Zacchaeus was a sinner. I mean, he was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He was a tax collector and greedy and selfish and probably had all kinds of internal issues. He was short and all that kind of stuff. So when Jesus came to him, he treated Zacchaeus like we often treat people. Zacchaeus, you dirty, rotten sinner, you get down out of that tree. You repent. Is that the way Jesus approached him? No, he said, Zacchaeus, I need to go to your house. And later on, Jesus is called a friend of sinners. And of course, the religious leaders were all upset with Jesus. How can you go eat with a sinner, with a tax collector, somebody like that? They didn't understand. But as a result, Zacchaeus understood who Jesus was. His life was changed and he gave back, you know, all that it's an amazing story. The same with the woman at the well. All throughout the scripture, we see that Jesus pours out his love. That's the way we reach the spiritually lost. And then we share the good news. We have to share the truth. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. In Matthew 28:18-20, you know, go, make disciples, baptizing and teaching, and lo, I'm with you always. That's our command. Just as God sent Jesus, so Jesus has sent us as his children into the world to love them and to share the gospel and to free the oppressed and, you know, all those kind of things that happens. And then the last thing is this mystery he talks about here. 9 and 10. Another way we see God's blessing preceding any kind of devotion. This mystery, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Over in Colossians 1:20, early in Colossians, and I understand Pastor Rich is preaching through this, so he can clean up all my misstatements next week. But this mystery it says the mystery that has been kept hidden has now been disclosed during this time, this church age, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In John 16, Jesus promised that when he left, he would send the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter, it even says that the angels in heaven and the prophets of old who pointed towards this day, towards the church, towards Christ, wish that they could experience what we experience. You realize that? The Holy Spirit living in us is a great gift of grace. And that's what gives us the power to live. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. When you're drunk with wine, and on the day of Pentecost, they thought Peter was drunk because they were speaking in tongues and different languages. They didn't understand all kinds of crazy things. Because when we allow Christ to control our lives through the Holy Spirit, then we become like Christ. We become different people. We're transformed. See, because the old nature has died. When we become Christians, we're baptized with Christ, our old nature dies. Romans chapter 6. You've died with Christ. We've been risen up with Christ to live a new life. So that doesn't mean the old power nature is gone. It says in Ephesians 4:22 that the old nature is being corrupted. It's getting worse, not better. And the older I get, I mean, I get thoughts and temptations and things. I go, that is a terrible, awful thought. Where did that come from? Well, it came from my old nature, which isn't getting better. It's being corrupted. But God didn't come to clean out my old nature. He came to give me a brand new nature, Christ, the Holy Spirit in me. And so now as we walk in that, so it's like the story was told of the ship captain during the war to illustrate this. Some people say, well, how is my old nature dead? And the ship captain was a very tyrannical captain during World War II in South Pacific. Julie's dad served there. For some reason, he just went berserk. He would throw sailors in the brig overnight or in solitary confinement for a week for no reason. He was just out of control, totally. Maybe he'd gone crazy because of the war. Who knows? P.S. Whatever. But finally, the admiral relieved him of his command. They flew a new captain in, and they had to go on, and they couldn't take the old captain. They just stripped him of all his authority, but left him on the ship. And out of respect for his position, they left him wander around the ship. The next morning, the old captain saw a sailor. He said, swab that deck, sailor. And that sailor hit the deck, and he started swabbing. Because he knew now all of a sudden it hit him. Wait a minute. I don't have to obey that old captain anymore. I have a new captain. He has no authority. And that's the picture that Paul paints about in Romans 6, becoming slaves. Why would we want to become a slave to that old nature, to the addictions and all the things that come with it, when we can give ourselves to the new nature? Many people are not aware, Christians, of the blessing they have. So let me make some applications. So we see this blessing, this grace. Blessing precedes devotion in creation through the Father, through the Son and his death and his resurrection for us, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The whole triune God involved in that. God in us. So a couple applications, Seth. First of all, preach blessing. Preach Jesus, not devotion to religion, to rules and regulations accomplishes nothing. But when we point people towards Christ and towards all that he's done for us, lives are changed. Now, it's easy, though, as preachers, to, we see things and things aren't going so well. So just the temptation is to throw on a rule or a regulation or to blast them with something. You know what I'm saying? Just really, shape up there, come on, and that kind of thing. We need to encourage, we need to admonish and all that, but preach blessing. And don't use your pulpit as a bully pulpit, the famous bully pulpit. If you got an issue with somebody, go directly to them. Now, those of you in the congregation, sometimes when Rich is preaching, you're going to feel like he's talking right to you. But be assured he's not. I know Rich. He's not the kind of guy that's going to use the pulpit that way. But he's going to preach the word, and you're going to be convicted. And when you are, I hope you will respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. But don't sit there thinking, hey, he's just picking on me today, because pastors know a lot of things about us over the years and a lot of secrets and things. And so it's easy for you to fall into that trap. Bless the spiritually lost in your area. Don't condemn. bless them and share with them Jesus. We had a church one time in that left our association of churches here, the Free Church, and they felt like we were, I don't know, getting off the track or something. And they were a kind of a church that was very legalistic. They had this big sign posted outside their very little community. You know, turn or burn, or you're going to go to hell if you don't, you know, that just really in your face stuff, which is all true. It's the truth. But they had no audience anymore, really. So we need to learn to be contagious Christians. We need to love people, bless people, and then share Christ with them. That's the way Jesus did it. So bless the spiritually lost, don't condemn. Now this condemnation, this judgment, that's reserved for the family of God. We're to judge each other. We're to admonish and encourage, and that's what communion's all about. We're to go to each other. We're held to a different standard. So if you see a brother that's struggling in sin, the Bible says you that are strong need to go and help the weaker brother. But see, sometimes we get it reversed. We let each other off the hook all the time. All kinds of crazy stuff, gossip and all kinds of things. But we're quick to condemn the sinners down the road. You know, that person down the street there, easy for me to condemn him. You know, their kids are always running around half-dressed, and they got beer bottles in their yard, and I think there may be a meth lab in their basement, and different woman. I mean, it's just crazy stuff going on. And so instead of saying, God, give me a heart for them, they need Jesus. How can I get into their world? You know, who knows what's going on? It's amazing what I can do. That begins to happen. So a word of caution there. Remember, your gifts and your effectiveness come from God. In 2 Corinthians, it says God, Jesus, gives gifts to the church, all different kinds of gifts. As we receive them and use them, God uses them to bless us greatly. And give grace first, listen to each other. It's easy for us to not to listen. You know, we're to judge, but that judgment, we have to look at ourselves first. That's what Jesus taught. And remember that, you know, until you really understand what's going on. So listen for it. Give grace. Remember that God has given leaders to the church. Obey them. Hebrews 13:17 says this, brothers and sisters, I urge you, have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this that their work will be joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. So you're in the process of finding elders. Rich, God has called Rich as a leader. He's called Seth and others. And people, and you need to learn to respect and obey your leaders. That doesn't mean you blindly, but God has given them, as most things are not, you know, sure, you're going to make sure they're scriptural. If they get off base biblical is one thing, but little things, you've got to be willing to let them lead, and then God will bless greatly as you allow your leaders to do what God has called them to do, is to lead. And those that are called to serve, and we've all got different gifts. And then remember, live by faith. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith, that not of yourself is a gift of God, not as a result of works. We're sanctified by faith. It's a gift of God, our sanctification, the Holy Spirit. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, you know. And eventually we're going to be glorified by grace through faith. That's in the future. But in the present, we're sanctified exactly the same way. Colossians 2:6, did you receive Christ Jesus your Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Christ? By faith. And we walk in him by faith as well. So let's pray just a second, and then we'll let Seth respond. Father in heaven, you are such a great and such a good God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for this grace that operates so effectively in our lives. God, forgive us for the many times when we fail to respond to the promptings of your Spirit in our lives. Father, as you speak to people this morning, I pray that you give them, just open their eyes to how much you love them. How much you want to forgive them, no matter what it is. God, help them just to admit their sin to you, receive your forgiveness, and enter into the life that you have for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Don. This is a very special day for me and for my family. For one, you saw those pictures. I mean, obviously, we had some fun in college, but that group of people that you saw are very special to me. I prayed when I was younger. High school is hard without any kind of Christian fellowship, and so to be able to get to a place where a group of people who really were trying to love God with everything that they had together was very special. But I didn't realize that one of my closest friends would end up being someone who is slightly older than me, one of my friend's dads, you know. And over the years, even after graduation, I mean, we spent a lot of time over at Don and Julie's at their house. But, you know, the friendships that were formed there were intergenerational, and it was a beautiful thing. And so, you know, all of the effort that Don has put into my life and given me wisdom and helped me through pastoral ministry over the years, things like that. I mean, it's a real blessing, and it's an honor to have you both here, you know, for this special day for me. It's also a blessing to have my family here. I've got, you know, Heather's parents are here. My parents are here. It's my parents' 40th wedding anniversary today. And Heather and I both, you know, we have been blessed by God, not just with friendships that he's given us, but our family. And so I'm excited for what God has done in my family, what God is doing in my own family. And I'm especially excited to share that with you, my church family, and that, you know, the fact that God sovereignly called us here. You know, the longer that Heather and I are here, the more we see there is no mistake in what God has done. And we're so grateful for how he has led us here. So I just want to commit a few things to you, Grace Church. I commit to clearly communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ through my words and my actions. I commit to sharing not only the gospel of God, but also my life as well. I commit to equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, especially for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, for parents and grandparents to make the most of every opportunity to disciple their family, for the members of the church to love each and every person here, and for every person here to love God with all their heart and their soul, their mind and strength, that they would worship him in every way that he created them so that he would get all praise in everything. And I do this not in strength of self or hard work or effort alone, because it's not by might or by power, but by the only way possible, by the Spirit of God, using the words of God, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. For it's by him and through him and to him that all things are. And so I entrust myself to God in his loving kindness, like Don had preached. I commit to him in his loving kindness to me and to this church, and I will hold on to him as he holds me fast. I commit myself to, or I entrust myself to Rich and the elders, their leadership and their partnership in the gospel, and to you, the congregation, that together we would learn to lean on him, to love him, and to worship him forever.